parents and grandparents. And Lord, how they're grieving today. And I ask, Lord, that you would comfort their hearts. So, Lord, meet the needs of this family as only you can. And Lord, as you meet those needs, I ask, Lord, that you would indeed challenge us today as we walk with you, for we ask it in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is a handout sheet in the bulletin if you do care to follow along. And this, as I said, when I had you turn into Scripture, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is just packed, loaded with all kinds of wonderful things that Jesus is teaching us. And so he's talking here. If your Bible is like mine, it lays out and has outlines and things like that in it. And in right before verse 25, it talks about in relation to anxiety. Do you ever get anxious about anything? I was yesterday. My granddaughter's home from college for the weekend, and so Grandma said that she wanted to go see Kaylee, and so I was working in the back room, and I was pretty well just messed up. And I said, "Well, I'm going to go along." So we did, and everybody always looks at me and says, "Why do you have so much trouble driving your vehicles?" Well, I finally figured it out. It's the section of road that I drive on. If I drove, when I lived up in the Mansfield area and I drove into Mainsburg, I had very little problem navigating a two-lane highway that was loaded with tanker trucks and couldn't drive over 50 miles an hour, and that was fine. But if you drive the section, the bypass coming from into Sealands Grove, they have that, the fastest part of the whole expressway is right there at the end. And believe me, the police have a heyday there. They have people pulled over there all the time. Well, yesterday, I just thought it was a wonderful day, nice slow rain going down the road. And as we get to the end, it says that the left lane is supposed to merge right, which that's probably backwards, right? Most of the time, it's the right lane should merge left. Well, that's not the way it is there. And this guy come barreling down. If I would have looked in my mirror, he'd have cleaned me off the road. Well, then I always look for license plates because most of the time they're New York. But this was Ontario, which is even actually worse. You say, well, why would you be anxious? Well, when you're looking in your mirror and this person is coming up and it's like, and here's what I do. I say, thank you, Lord, that I was attentive enough that I didn't have to have somebody from Canada clean out the side of my van. You know, I'm just thankful about that. But then, see, I wished I could just let it go at that. And my wife's sitting on the other side. I'm thinking, I ought to kill this guy. But I didn't. I didn't. I honestly didn't. And as a matter of fact, you would be so proud of me. Because I didn't try to speed up and catch him. I just knew I was going to catch him. Because I know 11:15. And so there we sat at the lowest red light, and I am right beside him. So what do you think I did? What do you think I did? And you know what I'm thinking? Now, I can really blow this. I can really do it up good. And I can probably have, like, you know, somebody from my church that I'm pastoring sitting there watching me. And I just looked at him. I just looked at him. I didn't wave. I didn't put my fist up. I just looked at him. And I didn't smile, and I didn't frown. I just looked at him until he looked at me. And then he looked, and then I looked, and he looked, and I looked, and he looked, and he finally got the message. But I was pleasant. Amen. See, you roll your window down, that's aggressive, right? I just looked at him. That's all I did. Now, you say, what's that to do with worry? Well, a lot of times what happens is we worry how our life is going to go, don't we? We worry, I don't know about you, is that I'm concerned with my granddaughter at college. Or, you know, I ought to be. She tells me stories, you know, it's about going to this function. Oh, I went to a football game the other day, and every time Penn State makes a touchdown, they throw a girl up in the air. I got thrown up in the air, and I'm thinking, oh, my. I'm going to get called. She's going to be down at State College, the Nittany Lion Center, and, you know, she's got a broken back, you know. And I said, aren't you concerned about that? Oh, no, they always catch you. Oh, yeah. And then I think about my little guy starting school and all the dangers. So you know what I'm talking about is life, right? And then I think about becoming a senior citizen. And, you know, the glorious day of Medicare is right around the corner. right? All you Medicare recipients. There we go. Yeah, we got one or two. We got one or two. Right? Oh, yeah. And then you think about, well, what happens when I can no longer work like I did? That happened to me a long time ago, but I mean, I'm doing weathering it pretty good, you know. But, and then you think, oh, and then you think about, you know, I guess set the table here for a little bit, if you'll just stay with me on this, is that, did you ever notice that our government says everything is just absolutely great and there's no inflation? And did you ever hear how they take those numbers? The other day, they report it monthly, if you listen to the radio at any time. And they'll say, now what we're going to do is we're going to take out the cost of food and we're going to take out the cost of energy. And then if we take those two things out, we don't have any inflation. Just like, oh, well now let me ask you something. When's the last time you could eat your TV? Come on now, amen? Isn't that the truth? Oh, yeah. Now, you know, I'm thankful. I went downstairs to the basement the other day, and winter's coming, and we don't have gas. We have oil, and I'm thankful both my oil tanks are full. But the oil tank fairy did not come and fill those up and say, oh, voila. Right? Oh, yeah. And last time I checked is the... when we went to see Kaylee, and they said, oh, we're going to go out to eat down to Red Robin. We went down to Red Robin. When's the last time in the world that you bought two hamburgers and fries and it was $23? See, there's no inflation there whatsoever. And so what happens? Now, what am I doing? I'm talking about life. I'm talking about what it costs to live. I'm talking about what it costs to buy shoes. Now, to be with children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, it's incredible. They wandered for 40 years, and their shoes didn't wear out, right? Well, I know these shoes are quite old, but I don't think they're going to last 40 years. Right? So we're going to talk about worrying. What did Jesus say about the mindset of the believer? And in this passage, Jesus strikes at the tendency to center our lives around food and clothing, thus missing life's real meaning. Because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about life's real meaning. Because that's what it comes down to is... here it is. I was looking for this. I laid it down. See, I have a workshop, and I look for everything all day. This is my workshop in church, and I've already lost my clicker here. So, Jesus starts off in verse 25, and he says... Look what he says. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's an interesting perspective. Now, he says, what ye shall eat. Now, you know me because you've listened to me long enough. I like food. Don't you like food? As a matter of fact, I'm usually hungry about right now. You're getting hungry right now. And then I always got to talk about eating something in church. But, you know, you have to admit, and, you know, Mike's the secretary now, and so he'll see all the royalty checks that come into me on Monday and Tuesday of all these restaurants in the area that you go to after church. They send me a small royalty for mentioning them, right? Isn't that the way it is? I always thought that's the way it was. When I went to Bible college, Dr. Jack Powell was the preacher at First Baptist, and he was one of the co-founder of the school. And so he talked about Reese's Peanut Butter Cups so much that someone bought him a share in the Reese's Peanut Butter Company, okay? So if you want to buy me a share in Pizza Hut and all that stuff, you can do that, okay? So I'm just planting the seed there. But now watch this. If Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what am I supposed to do? Well, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, you know that by chance offhand? Sometimes I mess up on the address, but you'll know the verse. Was it? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible that Paul would write a passage where he says, whether therefore ye eat or drink? Oh, wait a minute. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Oh my, and Paul says, whether therefore ye eat or drink. So in this passage, Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't eat or drink. He's just saying that that's not supposed to be what our life's all about. And that's hard for a guy that lives to eat, like me. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Where's Dorothy Ann? Is she back here? I seen her sitting there. She's in junior church help. She works for Dairy Queen. And right now, I am in a stage of my life where a medium vanilla cone dipped in chocolate is just what I need to get home. Amen? Oh, yeah. Forget about the blizzard. They can hold that thing upside down all day. But you just give me a vanilla cone dipped in chocolate, and I'll tell you what, I'd be just as happy as I'd be in my right mind. Amen. Well, we're going to be here all day. So, what Jesus is saying this, number one in your seat, is such worry about the future is sin. Yes, it's sin. Really? Wow. And here's the thing. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, if it's sin, why is it sin? Why is it sin? Well, because I think it goes, we're going to go to the heart of the problem. And this is what I need, first of all, because I'll tell you what. I find it very easy to be concerned about tomorrow. At the end of that passage, it says, take no thought for tomorrow. Now, that word tomorrow means tomorrow. It says, take no thought for tomorrow. And what we could say, us warriors could say, well, I'm supposed to worry about today. I got a whole list of things to worry about tomorrow, but I can put that off till tomorrow. Right? No. Look at this. The first one is this. It denies the love of God by implying that He doesn't care for us. Isn't that the truth? When we sin, because when we worry, who cares for us? I remember years ago, I did a funeral for one of the first funerals I've ever done. I was probably 22, 23 years old. It was a lady at the British Home. Her name was Miss Clark. What a wonderful lady. What a saint of God. She was 90-some years old, lived in the British Home, a personal care home. We would have prayer requests. I had a weekly meeting there that met on, believe it or not, it's Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. She played the piano for me. She was blind. She would have prayer requests, and it didn't take me long to realize that when she was saying, pray for my nephew. Now, let me see. If someone is 93 years old, how old is their nephew? Come on, you mathematicians. Yeah, 60 and 70 years old. So I can remember one time saying, they called me Reverend Dressler. Can you imagine that? Reverend Dressler, 23 years old, still wet behind both ears. Now I'm just wet behind the one. And she would say, pray for my nephew. I sent him a letter witnessing to him about the gospel and put some tracts in it. So she is writing to someone probably in their 70s. Her father was a preacher in England that preached on the street corners. And I can remember, you know what the song we sang, they did a memorial service. It was a memorial service at the personal care home, and there's four of these personal care homes in America. It's called British Home North, British Home South, British Home East, British Home West. Really, really original, right? And they had all, and you had to be European descent to be there, first of all. And God gave me a platform to speak to the board of directors. They all flew in from all around the United States to attend this lady's memorial service. You know what I sang? You know what song we sang? Does Jesus care? Yes, He does. That's what the song says. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Amen? And then you know what? When we worry, it denies the love of God. That it implies that He doesn't care for us. The second one is this. It denies His wisdom by implying that He doesn't know what He is doing. See, when Jesus is talking about you and me, and He says, take no thought, that doesn't mean we're supposed to be lazy. That doesn't mean, well, you know what? I really don't like my job. See, I can't say that because I'm the pastor. Because if I don't like my job, then that means that... But you know what? When I worked at Wood Mone, I loved my job. I used to walk around all the time and say, I love my job. And I just had a lot of fun with that. But I never minded working, okay? I could stand next to it all day and never got anxious. I could sit and watch someone work all day and never got worked up about it or anything, right? No, I'm not talking about that. But watch this, is that Jesus is not telling us to be lazy and careless, but he says, you know what? This isn't what we're supposed to live our life for. Now, I like to dress up on a Sunday morning. You notice that, don't you? My tie. I loosened my shirt this morning. I didn't check in the bathroom. Maybe my tie's crooked. My wife, she's not feeling well today. She would have told me about that already. Now, honey. So if I'm sitting here like this, that's because my wife's not with, right? So you got to cut me a little slack. But watch this. Isn't the fact that you and I, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that God loves us unconditionally? Amen? Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. Now, watch this. If there's, and I hate to put it in this sense, because I'm almost humanizing, and I don't want to bring God down to my level, but God is absolute, perfect, infinite wisdom. Amen? So wisdom would be this, is that God always knows what he is doing. Now, then you get Dave Dressler. Now, I always think I can improve on that. Don't you? I can always improve on what God's doing. It was interesting in our Sunday school class today. Walt brought up a subject about while we were talking, and he talked about the fact of how blessed we are. And yet, I was thinking this morning as I was coming out through Kent, which is a pretty safe section of highway to drive on for me. And I seen an Amish buggy coming the other way. And there was this little Amish boy looking out the windshield. And he had his little hat on. And I'm thinking, you know, why didn't God allow me to be born in a situation that would be more difficult? I traveled to Africa. And I've seen people live absolutely on next to nothing. And I'm always amazed. But you know what? Isn't it the truth that a lot of times we doubt that God really does know what he is doing? Amen? Oh, yeah. And then thirdly is this, is it denies his power by implying that he isn't able to provide for our needs. God promises his children that he will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? My problem is I have to admit, my needs are met over and above. It's the wants that I think about and try to deceive myself that they're actually needs that I have to have in my life. Come on now, amen? Do you remember, I study for my sermon all the time. So I'm not done studying yet. So I'm coming down Chestnut Street here, 61, this morning. Guy standing outside of Kohl's. He's standing there like this. That's the new profile, isn't it? That's the new profile. I can't believe what people pay for their phone bill anymore today. I remember when I was a little boy, you got home, and if you had an extension in your home upstairs, you were high, you were top class, you were top shelf. And my sister used to race home from school so that she got on the phone before Dora, the next door neighbor lady, which was an old lady, got on the phone and tied up the party line. And now today it's like this. Watch this. I forgot my phone. What am I going to do? I forgot my phone. That's like, isn't that the truth? Come on now, amen? Did you ever find yourself doing that? I'll get home from the office, and I lay my phone in the van, and then I let it lay. And I'm up in the house. Where's my phone? Because I'm so important, I'm just waiting for the president to call me. Dave, what should I do? Leave! Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was just a weak moment. Now the black helicopters are going to follow me all the way home. Okay. So here's the thing. To sum it up, simply, to worry denies the love, wisdom, and power of God. Now, think about that. Now, I want you to do this. I don't have that on your sheet, but I want you to think about that, because isn't that exactly what it is? Now, you say, why would you talk about that? Well, I don't know about you, but it's kind of scary to live, isn't it? I'm not even just talking about political stuff. I mean, those people were in their own little world. But you find out you can catch a disease and you can die in 24 hours and you can't even tell what it is until you're dead. I remember I started turning on this little lathe that I have, and I started using antler. And Dave Little, who did our game dinner, he's coming back too for the next one. He's just a great guy. He told me, he said, when I first showed him my lathe, this is years ago, I was up at Bakerburg yet, and he said to me, he called me on the phone, he said, Dave, he goes, I think you need to be careful when you're working with an antler. He said, well, why? Well, we have a gentleman in the church out here that he was a turner just like you. And he got real sick, and in 2 weeks he died. And then they did an autopsy, and they found out that there was something in the antler, some strange bacteria that shows up every once in a while. It attacked his respiratory system and killed him. See, there's all kinds of stuff out there. Did you ever hear stories like that? It scares the daylights out of you. So you're walking around. It's like, man, I don't want to touch a doorknob. We could be. I think they said that Howard Hughes was a germaphobe, right? Oh, yeah. And so it's just like this. Not me. I go out here to the drinking fountain, put my lips right around the whole thing. Because I want to build up my immune system, right? Yeah, oh yeah. You see me out there, say, look, yeah, he's not doing it. And then I lap soup from a bowl, you know, and Perkins, just to show everybody I can do it, right? No, but I mean, hey, let's get on here. So number two is this. Really, okay, if we're not supposed to be concerned about this stuff, if when we do worry, it is denying the love and wisdom and power of God, right? And what am I supposed to do? Well, that's why we read 1 Corinthians 10:31. We are here to love, worship, and serve Him, and to represent His interests on earth. Now watch this. That almost sounds like a new concept in church. Pastor, this must be new. Oh no. This is what it's always supposed to be. As a believer, I am here. I remember years ago, right after I first got saved, is that someone told me that I was an ambassador for Christ. And you know what an ambassador is, don't you? It's a person designated by the government to go in a foreign land and represent the interests of that government to the foreign land. And as he is being represented, it is the government that sent him that takes care of him. Amen? Provides him housing, provides security, provides all those things, right? Come on now, amen? That's what an ambassador is. That's what we are. You and I, when we came to Christ, we are his ambassadors. So my life is about representing his interests. And so I got to ask myself, is that, what am I doing? Oh, I'm not talking about whether or not I'm signed up to teach Sunday school or to help with this thing, but what am I doing with my life? What am I thinking about? Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, there are some clothes that wear out. Got to, you know, it's just like, I used to be able to shop. I remember the first suit I got, I think I paid $3 for at the Salvation Army. And it looked like a guy from 1910 died in it. Okay, had the real wide lapels and I get the tie for 75 cents and it's like this wide. You know, you use it as a bib and all that stuff. So it's like this. I thought that when the Lord put me into ministry, I probably ought to step it up just a notch. Okay? So I spray painted my Nike sneakers gloss black, right? Right. So, you know, that's how you got to improvise. But here's the thing. I'm not saying that we should not represent Him well. in the things that we have and the things that we do. But that isn't what life's all about, is what we have and what we do. It's what, if we are serving His interests while we're here. Amen? That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, the next one is this. Our bodies are intended to be our servants, not our masters. And that's what He's teaching. You know, Paul says this. He uses the analogy of training for what they call their Olympics. And you know, our Olympics pretty well parallel, really, the teaching that Paul had there, because if you are caught not training properly, you could lose all the rewards that you have. We have that happen in our world today, right? Do we not? They call it doping, right? I've been called a dope my whole life, but I never really took anything to be called that. Just, you know, I'm doping, right? Dopic, spilled a lot of water in my life, you know. Man, the other day I dropped something and caught it. And it's just like, whoa, baby. I must have trained for this for 60 years and I finally got it, right? But Paul said this. He buffets his body. That word means he gives himself a black eye. I was talking to Tim. Tim was here last week. He's training for a fight. And you know what he does? I see that guy. He trains. And it's like, oh, man, I get tired watching him train. I get tired watching these people run. I run. I run from the couch to the refrigerator during the commercial to get the popcorn, put it in the microwave, and get back before the commercial's over, right? That's running. I get it. Get a little sweated. That's okay. I got the ceiling fan on. Takes care of it for the next 8 minutes while I'm consuming it and thinking what I'm going to get during the next commercial, right? It's called the Dress for Workout. I'm writing a book on it. Make sure you buy that. And number four is this. And what Jesus does in this passage is he uses several illustrations, okay? So I know we haven't gone over, he goes to verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air." He's talking about the birds. "For they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than them?" He uses these birds, right? And the birds illustrate God's care for his creatures. Now, watch this. We shouldn't conclude from this that we need not work for the supply of our present needs, right? Oh, no. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. He's basically saying this. They preach to us how unnecessary it is for us to worry. They neither sow nor reap, yet God feeds them. Since in God's hierarchy of creation, we are of more value than the birds, then we can surely expect God to take care of our needs. Right? Now, Paul goes on and he says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Right? And you say, oh, I can't believe you're saying that. Man, I'll tell you what, if there's one thing in our country that is just absolutely incredible, is that you can take the path of least resistance in our world today and still fare out pretty good because they take it from other people and give it to them. And usually those are the ones that complain. Nor should we conclude that it is wrong for a farmer to sow, reap, and harvest. Jesus condemned the rich farmer in Luke 12 when he sought his security in the barns that he built when God increased his ability to grow and harvest. Now there's this one commentator that says this. I like this. The argument is that if God sustains without their conscious participation, now we're talking about the birds, right? Creatures of a lower order, he will all the more sustain with their active participation those for whom creation took place. When God spoke this world into existence, on the sixth day he created man. He created man different than every other creature. He created them. He created man in the image of God. He stamped in man his own image. No matter what the animal rights people say. Now, I do not believe in abusing animals. I think that's absolutely terrible. But I do like a nice steak. Do you not like a nice steak? Amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like those chili cheese fries with a little bit of hamburger in there. A little bacon in there. Huh? See? Now I'm down to the base nature again. You're saying, hurry up, brother. I am hungry. Okay, so, okay, we'll get going here. But you get the idea. It's with our active participation that God meets our needs. And then here's the thing. Number five, worry about the future is not only a dishonor to God, it's also futile. You know what futile means? Futile means you can't do anything about it. Really? You know, I can remember being at Wood Mode and going to the service club banquet and asked to offer the prayer, the invocation at the beginning, and I prayed and asked God and thanked God for blessing the company in which I worked and the 17 and a half years I worked at Wood Mode. I prayed that God would bless us with work. Amen? Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. It's my participation. See, now watch this. Let's look at our passage. I like this next passage. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Isn't that interesting? It's just like, okay, I want to fake myself taller. Okay? Right? No, we can't do that. You know what a cubit is? Cubit's about 18 inches. They said a cubit measured from, I think, the elbow to the tip of the finger. Okay? If you ladies, if you're ever going to buy anything at the marketplace in early Jerusalem, you wanted to make sure that the guy at the marketplace was tall and had long arms because you got a better standard, okay? You didn't want some short, stubby guy sitting there measuring, you know, and he's got real short arms, right? You want to make sure you get good measure. But a cubit is about 18 inches. And Jesus is asking this interesting question, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And then he goes on and he says this, is that, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And so, I guess I'm not really a flower person. So if you're a flower person, I apologize profusely. Okay? They're nice. I think almost all flowers smell like a funeral home. That's what I think of when I smell flowers, you know. So, yeah. I do buy my wife flowers occasionally. So don't get the idea, fellas, that you're off the hook, okay? But, I mean, when you look at flowers, they are beautiful, are they not? At least some people tell me they're beautiful. I believe them. I take it right there. So here's the thing. Men and women bearing the divine image would be living for an uncertain future on this earth when they should be living with eternity's values in view. And that's what Jesus is teaching. And that's where I think we come to the end. And that's what Jesus is talking here. Now, there's a second point to this, because if you'll read down through the passage, I didn't get to the key verse in the passage. The key verse in the passage is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I'm almost leaving you hang. So what we can do is we can take an order and call out to Domino's, get pizza delivered, or we can continue this next week. So I think we're going to continue it next week, okay? I think we will. But what I want to challenge you with today, and I thought when I could break this message in half, I thought it would be a good place to stop, because really what we're talking about is this, is that, and here's my challenge for you, and I want you to think it through. Am I living my life what he said, Jesus said, the Gentiles were the ones that sought after all that stuff? Now, I realize that in the scope of this world, I am a Gentile. I'm not Jewish, and I don't have Jewish heritage. But he was talking about the unsaved people. That's what he was talking about. Now, am I living with eternity's values in view? That's it. Bottom line, is that what I'm living for? Other than that, I mean, I hope nobody comes to church tonight or Wednesday night or next Sunday undressed, because I'm going to have to talk to you, okay? I'm going to have to take you off this side, throw a blanket over me and say, now let's get things in order here, okay? Okay? We all understand that. I hope that you don't go home today and say, the pastor don't want me to eat, and Friday they call me from the hospital, and you say, I'm going to come, and the first thing I'm going to do is slap you. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to say, now it's time, okay? But we're not talking about that. Am I living with eternity's values in mind? That's what it is. That's the challenge. Let's pray.